Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Dina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePauw here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White, Byron Mann from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it high. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Six four six five nine five four zero three eight. Once again, the number is 646-595-4038. Welcome to another edition of Real Talk. The director in the Jedi Council. I am the director, in case you haven't been under a rock lately. And I'll be with you in the next 90 minutes or so. Real Talk is sponsored by Dollhouse Radio, India Morrell. And brought to you live via the internet. Through via blogtalkradio.com. Another week, not a slow week, but we actually had this weekend was very interesting because leading up to May 1st, which all else doesn't matter, as of May 1st, everyone needs to just sit back and enjoy the ride with Age of Ultron. But leading up to May 1st, that's what we're going to talk about. Now, it's a little early to start our Avengers talk, but I don't just want to talk about Avengers. I just want to talk about Marvel, the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Studios. They're really making a powerhouse move to making a move right now to cripple DC Warner Brothers before they can even get a chance to fire any more shots off. Now, we all know the latest Age of Ultron trailer is, you know, there's trailers surfacing all over the place. And we have the latest clip from the scene where we get the pleasure of seeing the Hulkbuster suit with Stark, and this, you know, everyone was wondering, hey, what's going on? So this clip, yes, it is true, Stark and Hulk are fighting, but it's obviously Hulk is under some sort of mind control, possibly by the Scarlet Witch, and there you have it. Stark always comes prepared for situations like this. Here comes the Hulkbuster costume. And so they get going on that. Well, on the other hand, they're also trying to close in on DC. As you see, DC has been doing their thing with the television world. They got Arrow. They have The Flash. Two excellent shows. They also have Gotham, which is a DC-based show as well. So, Well, Marvel decided to clap back in a different way. They decided to go the route of, well, they have Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but then they also feel they decide to go the route of Netflix. And they said, you know what? They went out, they made a multi-million dollar, multi-series deal with Marvel and with between Marvel and Netflix. And they said that they're going to produce some of the, you know, the, I don't know what, whether they're going to phase three. I'm not sure what is the actual terminology for these other Marvel films. But they're not, instead of making them films, they're making them television series. So I think that Marvel is really on the verge of really putting a chokehold on DC. Meanwhile, DC, you know, has not released a movie in a while. Now, you know, you got Batman, Superman, Dawn of Justice that's going to be, supposedly, there's a rumor that the trailer is going to be in Mad Max. We are not 100% sure on that, but it's a pretty good rumor that they're going to release that trailer in the Mad Max movie, which is sometime, I think in July or June or something. The bottom line is it comes out after Age of Ultron. And I think that's a mistake. I think they should have hit you with a trailer before Age of Ultron. As a matter of fact, I would have did everything in my power, bit the bullet, paid the money, and I would have put that trailer in Age of Ultron if I could. It's been done before, you know, but, you know, I don't know if they would agree to that, but I think I would have tried to put it in some movie that came out Age of Ultron. I would have put it in Fast 7 or whatever, Furious 7. I would have put it in a blockbuster that came out right before. You know, that's what I would have did. I would have put it out before Age of Ultron, if possible, right before. Now, I'm going to bring in a Jedi Council, at least one of the Jedi Council, Ralph, and then I'm going to get to the weekend recap, and then we can, this stuff, Ralph, you in the building?
What's going on, everybody? What's going on?
Hey, man. What's going on, buddy? So as you probably listening, Marvel is really trying to put a chokehold on DC right now. And, you know, I'm going to lead with the, you know, we'll lead with the, and I just also, yeah, I'll get to it right after the weekend recap. But I did ask just recently, right before the show, I watched the latest Ant-Man trailer. It actually doesn't look that bad. And I'm looking like, okay, wait a second. The only movie right now that's kind of been still, even after I saw the first trailer, I'm just not on board with is the Fantastic Four movie. Because I'm not on board with it because Marvel isn't 100% on board with it. You know what I mean? So I'm just not feeling it, and I don't like the changes that they made. But, yeah, that's just, you know, me and a lot of other people's opinion. But on a quick recap for the weekend, as we all know, Furious 7 killed it again at the theaters. Over the weekend, $59 million more. And then they made somewhere, a crazy somewhere right now over and seized at like $500 million just overseas foreign. Then you got domestic at $251 million. So we have a total of just under $800 million, and the movie has only been out like 2 weeks.
Wow.
So the movie's only been out 2 weeks, man. they're right under that $799. They're right under $800 million. 2 weeks in the theater. Boy, oh boy. I sure hope. I don't know. You know, I don't know how they got things worked out with residuals and proceeds, but I sure hope a nice portion goes to Paul Walker's, you know, whatever it is, warning him, you know, he left behind or whatever, his family. I'm not sure if he had kids or anything, but I'm not sure. But either way, good job for him, good thing for his family, I should say, and the whole cast. Home, the animated series, the animated series. Third week on the charts, it's at number two. Last week it was number two. 18 million this week. Their rolling total right now, domestic, $120 million. And $240 million worldwide. Not bad. Not bad at all. The Longest Ride, which is a new movie, just came out last week, this weekend, just passed. It's that cowboy movie. I expected it to do better, but it probably will do a little better as the days go by. A couple more. This is kind of like a date movie.
It's going to keep you. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to do anything. Wrong time of year. Wrong time of year. And right now, Furious 7 is just like dumping on everything, and no one's gonna make any money until. And then what happens is that, then you got in a little less than 2 weeks, you got Avengers coming out, so that's gonna be the end of the. That's last ride. You'll make all your money from DVD sales.
Yeah, that's what's gonna end up happening. Get Hard is at number four. Made $8 million over the weekend, and Cinderella closed it out. Number five, made $7 million over the weekend. Now, Get Hard is at $70 million domestic. It ran its course. $84 million worldwide. It was on a $4 million budget, so you know they made their money. So that's pretty good. They doubled their budget, so. That's a good thing.
I'm just tired.
Cinderella
of Kevin Hart
went hard.
I'm just tired of Kevin Hart
coming too, man.
You know, I do think his shtick has run its course now. You know, he needs something. He needs something different now. Now maybe the time when you do need like a serious drama in there, just to remind people that you know I'm more than just a funny guy. I can act, because it's just gotten tired. And maybe, it's, you know, because every movie is the same thing, and then you throw in The Real Husbands of Hollywood, which when it first came on, I loved it. I thought it was great. But now it's just gotten stupider and stupider.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sick of Kevin. I'm just sick of Kevin Hart.
I never got into that.
The first year it was funny. I mean, it had some real serious laughs in it. But now, then the second season came on, and now it was after Think Like a Man had came out, and now Kevin Hart went from being made a joke to now he's the central of it, and now it's season three, and it just kept getting dumber and dumber and dumber, you know. And I think now he's gonna need something to. A reminder, you know, like you can't always play that person. It's like,
well,
look,
he's got.
I look like this. It's like
he's riding that though. He's pretty much rolling with that. He's got a couple. He's got like four more films coming out, which includes Ride Along 2, which is in post production right now. So he's already shot Ride Along 2. Then you got a movie. He's got two. He's coming out where he's doing voices. Life of Pets, which seems like it's probably a live action, but doing voices and stuff. And then you got doing a voice, which looks like it's probably maybe an animated Captain Underpants. So That
I could,
is,
I could,
I don't know if it's
that.
I'm trying to look into animated comedy.
But see, I could
deal
with you doing
Central Intelligence, which that's with The Rock, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a movie with The Rock called Central Intelligence. So now he's about to play. Now he's going to be the Chris Tucker route. Probably like an action comedy where he'll be the, oh, God, you know, the funny man doing. But it says it's a comedy, though. After he reunites with an old pal through Facebook, a mom into the world of international espionage.
I mean, like I said, maybe it's just me.
That Kevin Hart.
Like I said, maybe it's just me.
He's going to ride this wave out, man, until the wheels fall off. And he's not going to be looking to change up too much. Because he's, you know, there's everyone still, you know, the majority of people are still liking him for being the Kevin Hart that he is, you know, the little so.
All right, but look
we'll
at it like
to,
this.
Look
at it like this. It's like all them years at Arnold Schwarzenegger, like even to come, even all them years that Eddie Murphy was doing his comedy movies, right? Realistically speaking, what movie is Eddie Murphy out of all the movies he's made, which is the one that stands out the most out of all the movies he did? It's really Coming to America, right? Because not only was he playing a comedic role, but he was kind of playing like a romantic type of comedic role where he wasn't doing some sort of buffoonery or something. You're showing that he really could act, and maybe it was that he was playing multiple characters in the movie too, with the prosthesis and stuff. But I think you need something to stabilize the buffoonery. And the same thing with a lot of the other comedians, like a Jim Carrey, like a Steve Martin, like Chevy Chase, anybody. You need like something solid to showcase I can really act, you know, to balance out all the comedians. Like no one can strictly do an entire catalog of the same shtick in the same genre. Nobody. And it, with the exception of people that maybe,
nah.
Maybe, if you want to say people that do drama, that do heavy dramas, yeah. But even with them, even with people that do action movies, like if you look at all the actors that really do a lot of action movies, somewhere in there, they're mixing, even if it's the action movie with a little bit of comedy or something, there's some sort of mix-up in there, like Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger did all them action movies, right? And he was getting labeled just as the action movie. But when did his career really take off? When he did Twins. Then you start seeing him in a different light. Say, wait a minute, this guy can be funny. You know?
Yeah.
And the same thing with Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the same thing with Stallone. The same thing with the Bruce Willis. The same thing with the... theoretically, even if you want to include some comedic elements, Steven Seagal. Like Steven Seagal could probably be your best friend. All his movies are the same thing. I'm this tough guy. I can't be beat. I'm a DEA agent. I'm a cop. And yada yada yada. Eventually, what happened? We all got sick and tired of that. And look where he's at now. Mix it up a little bit. show the audience something different.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin Hart is always playing, to me, he's always playing this same shtick. Loud. And you're being loud because you're short, you know, and you're black. No, you're not black because you're short. And you're a comedian. Okay, that's great. Well, come on, man. Let's switch it up. You know, Jim Carrey, come on. Dumb and Dumber, you know, The Mask. But when he turned around and he did the Truman Show, people was like, wait a minute, hold. And then later on, he did Eternal Sunshine.
Man.
People was like, wait a minute, this guy can really act.
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon.
You know? He did Man on the Moon. Yeah.
Now, I'm quite sure that Kevin Hart.
He can really act. But
yeah, now I'm quite sure Kevin
about the
Hart.
Number, what was it called? The number 57?
I didn't, well, that one
about,
I didn't like. I didn't,
something with numbers.
I didn't like number 23. That one I didn't like. But even still, he was still trying to show that, I can do something else besides the same shtick. And that's what I'm saying about Kevin Hart. Just fool us a little bit. But maybe that. Maybe that's
I don't think he wants to. I think he wants to ride this. I think he maybe just wants to ride the wave he has. I don't think he wants to go there. Maybe he will after a couple more movies. He's trying to. Kevin Hart trying to ride it because he. I know. I did see an interview with him. And he got some writers now. He's got his own writer production company. And he's got some writers. He said he got writers that's written two movies already. You know what I mean? That's already been picked up and going to be produced. Now, I don't know if they're his movies or if it's just his writing team. It's not movies for people because, you know, he's was hot right now, you know. They might be thinking, okay, let's crank out these movies, you know, get these guys that's writing with Kevin Hart. We're getting these things done. Now, I don't know where they're going with them. But, you know, so what I wanted to say, you know, before I went to the recap, did you get a chance to check the latest Ant-Man trailer?
Yes, I did. I saw it today. Actually, I saw two trailers today. I saw the newest Ant-Man trailer, and I was like, I don't know much about Ant-Man, but okay. I saw the cast. I was like, okay, this might be interesting. And I also had a chance to check out the newer Terminator trailer. And I don't know if it's just me, but me, I am really looking forward to the new Terminator movie. I think I'm probably one of the few people that may have liked at all the last Terminator movie. There were certain elements of the movie I did like. But this one, not only are you going back to the beginning of the Terminator series, but then you're changing it around a little bit. Oh, you're actually not a little bit. You're changing around a lot. But I am really looking forward to a new Terminator movie.
Yeah, I am too. I'd like to see a new one. I can't wait till that one comes out. Also, they released the Hulkbuster clip. It's pretty much most of the fight between Stark and Hulk, with Stark wearing the Hulkbuster outfit, the Hulkbuster suit. Hulk is under some sort of mind control, which we figured that out a long time ago. I think Scarlet Witch. Because at first, I think Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are working with Ultron, and maybe but Scarlet Witch must have some sort of mind control going over Hulk, and thus has to have this dude fight Hulk in the Hulkbuster suit. What did you think of that?
I saw that last night during the garbage that's called the MTV Movie Awards. And I had to say, I really, really liked it. I kind of liked the idea how Stark had the Hulkbuster backup armor in it, flying in the air, so when the piece came flying off, the new piece came flying on. I thought that was interesting. But I don't know, man. Is it going to be better than the Avengers? I don't know. I think it'd be hard-pressed to not be just as good. I think it'll be just as good, and I think certain elements of it will be better, but it's still on my list of the must-watch this year. You must see The Avengers. In 2 weeks?
Yeah, you gotta see.
Yeah, in 2 more weeks, The Avengers. It's still not my most anticipated movie of the year. That's this little movie called Star Wars. That's number one. But this one and the Mad Max.
Exactly.
I heard what you said about Mad Max, and I disagree. I would not put the Batman Superman movie in front of the Avengers. I really wouldn't. Right? I think because the properties are owned by two different companies. I think putting it in front of the Mad Max movie gives more people a reason to go see Mad Max, because people are already going to go see The Avengers. But now I think if you, it's like I can put it back in the old days, you know. But I do think what will happen is that the Avengers will actually have the Star Wars, the newest Star Wars trailer. I think that's what's going to happen.
That's what I think too, and that would be so. That would be so dope. Unless if they don't have it, which I truly pray, that means they're going to move it into one of the other movies I think is going to.
Flash, well, I mean, the only two prime dates
in there will draw people as well.
I mean, the only two prime dates to literally have the Star Wars trailer is either in front of Mad Max or whatever the big movie for the 4th of July is, right? I'm saying you put it in front of Mad Max trailer because, I mean, I'm hearing, which I started hearing today, you know, because this week is Star Wars Celebration in California, and I am hearing that they are going to be not only releasing the theatrical one sheet, the teaser poster, but they're also going to be running the trailer to Star Wars: The Force Unleashed. So if they actually do release it this weekend, which it looks like they will, I don't think putting it in front of the Avengers. I mean, Avengers is the big marquee movie, but I think for Star Wars, for Disney, you need to put Star Wars in front of the Avengers, and then for Warner Brothers, you need to put Superman vs. Batman in front of Mad Max. And that's going to make more people want to come and see Mad Max. I mean, Mad Max is going to do well anyway, you know. But now I think you got more of a reason to really go check it out because, damn, they're going to show that Batman trailer. And I think, I don't know which one people are waiting for more. Are they waiting more for the Star Wars? Are they waiting more for Batman and Superman? I would have to put my money that more people are waiting for Batman and Superman than they're waiting for Star Wars because Star Wars already had like a little teaser kind of thing out there already. Which I still haven't seen on the big screen yet. Still ain't seen it. I've seen it online. I haven't seen it on the big screen.
No? Right.
Nah.
So now there's some more news that Olivia Munn joins the X-Men Apocalypse cast as Psylocke. So Psylocke's going to be... It looks like from what I've been looking at some of the cast here... of course, Jennifer is back as Mystique. Sophie Taylor. She's in Game of Thrones. Watch Game of Thrones. But I didn't know she's... We have Rose Byrne. It's going to be... They're bringing... Moira MacTaggert. Remember, she was in First Class. MacTaggert. Her character.
Yeah, they're bringing
Channing
her back.
Tatum, Remy LeBeau. Channing Tatum and Remy LeBeau, a.k.a. Gambit. Rumored they have here by 3 months. It's Michael Fassbender, of course. Evan over. Now, Evan Peters. Okay, so they're bringing him back, too, the Quicksilver. Okay, man, so they're going to have two Quicksilvers out there. You know, it's just, that's what I mean. Marvel's got to, I hope Marvel next, you know, couple can just get their whole house in order, because I'm just so, that's ridiculous. Remember that? Back in the day, they had two Temptations. They had two sets of Temptations out there. version 1 and version 2. Like, you know, one version. Some of the original members, like, what's his name? And Dennis. In one group, Dishonor in the other group. It's like, come on, it's getting crazy. You know, great line where I think it was David Ruffin that said the line, you know, I'm playing David Ruffin, and he said, pretty soon we're going to have Temptation. Mm-hmm. So, how do you have this universe going on where, because Fox is not playing ball, So it's like the X-Men is not even part of the Marvel Universe. You know what I'm saying? Like, because even in what I'm about to talk about, even in Daredevil, they're even making references to all the other stuff in the Daredevil show. They're references, little subtle ones, some a little funny, but, I mean, they're making... They're giving you a hint that the same universe that we've been all been paying attention to with the Marvel universe, which is, you know, the Avengers and stuff. So then you have X-Men that's like on its own, almost in its own. You know what I mean? And that's because Fox won't play ball, and I think it's ridiculous. So now we have two Quicksilvers running around, literally. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
Well, I think that's got to be considered one I think that has to be considered as one of the worst business deals ever in the history of business deals, is that when Marvel started selling off their characters piece by piece, because they were going bankrupt and they started selling piece by piece. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is they would have just waited and so what, you know, I mean, it's hard to sit back and now say what you should have did after it's already been done, you know. But I think that if they would have had a little bit of hindsight, mm-hmm. that, you know, not only would these properties that we have become like the mainstay in movies nowadays, then everybody would have been under one banner. Because so long as they're under all these different banners, nobody is going to have, you're never going to have a true Marvel Universe. Never. I mean, Marvel, I mean, now Spider-Man, and the only reason Spider-Man is even being put back in Marvel is because Sony, the parent company, is having financial problems. So somewhere down the line, Marvel may get back full control of Spider-Man. I mean, Sony still owns it. They don't have full control of it. Right. Now, X-Men... Fox is never going to give X-Men up until when? Until the X-Men movies stop making money. When they stop making money, they say, well, we don't, now the property is now worthless. You know what I'm saying? Now we'll get rid of it and we'll give it back to Marvel. And then you will have a true Marvel universe. And now everybody, like I said, how are you going to have Daredevil fighting crime and what? Like, he's never going to run into a spider web, or he's never going to see the Baxter Building in New York City. I mean, come on. How does that legitimately happen?
No. Well, here's the thing. So which is a good segue to the Daredevil show, okay, which is an excellent show. I was watching. It was just released on Netflix. 13 episodes, 13 gritty, grueling episodes with this show, and I like really what they've done with it. You have the characters that everyone knows from the Daredevil world, Daredevil Matt Murdock, you got Bobby Nelson as his partner, lawyer partner, you got Kingpin, of course, the Kingpin, Risk. He's back white again. no offense to Clark, but you know, the Kingpin, I like what they're doing. He's played by Vincent D'Onofrio, who we all know from, and of course his famous role. So he's the
king. Wes, what's going on with your phone? Your phone keeps blinking. Your line keeps blinking in and out.
Oh, is it? Okay, let me see if I can fix that. Okay. Hold on a second. Of course, we have technical difficulties here with this, Okay, so I'm going to play, we're going to play a quick song real quick, and then we'll come into, as a matter of fact, no, what I'm going to play is the interview that I think that'll be a better thing. It'll give me time to check out my mic and try to fix this situation here. Okay, so a couple weeks ago we did the Dragon 3rd anniversary, and we got to interview Monique Dupree. I'm going to play that as I check out my technical difficulties with my mic. So we'll play a little bit of that, not the whole interview, because the interview is kind of long. But this is Monique Dupree, actress. And here we go.
Number is 646-595-4038. And we're back at Real Talk with the director, Jedi Council, and Monique Dupree. We're bringing in a young lady here now who's a multi-talented actress. She's got her own comic book going on. She's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So my boy Ralph is going to assist on the interview. We're going to bring in Monique Dupree. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
All right.
I'm happy to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So we're going to, wait, hold on, let me just make sure my mic is turned down a little bit. It's a zoo out here right now. And I just
yes,
wanna...
it's crazy.
So anyway, welcome to the show, Monique.
Thank you, I'm glad to be here.
Okay, awesome. So now, give us a little bit of insight on some of the things that you've been working on. Now, we know that you are an actress. You were nominated recently on the top, was it the top 100?
Top 50.
Scream Queens.
Scream Queens of all time by Playboy.
Wow. Top 50 sexiest Scream Queens by Playboy magazine. That's an accomplishment right there.
Yeah.
To be recognized by Playboy at all is an accomplishment.
Indeed, and I'm old, so I'm
you are not old.
I'm happy to be on that list.
Oh God,
you are not old.
Stop it. With that being said, welcome again to the show, and just give us a little insight on some of the other stuff that you're doing right now.
Well, I have a trillion things going on. I just directed, starred, and produced in my own film short. It's a horror short.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Shadow Hunters Devil's Beak.
Right.
It stars myself and Tommy Dreamer, Matthew Ewald, and John Johnson co-directed it with me because I had no idea what I was doing.
Okay.
But that's a major accomplishment for me because it's my first time actually directing. And to have ECW great Tommy Dreamer in it was awesome as well. Who I've also been working with a lot with his own production, House of Hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you know about wrestling.
Yeah, I'm more of an old school wrestler fan, but I do know who Tommy Dreamer is.
Yeah,
you know,
well, he's old
son.
School.
Yeah,
ECW,
exactly.
He's bringing... It's like he's reinventing ECW with House of Hardcore.
Okay.
You know, his shows make you feel like a kid again watching wrestling and not like some of the other companies that are out there now, which shall not be named.
Okay.
So,
that sounds dope. But see now, you wrestle.
I valet. I have taken a bump.
Okay.
I have had my hair torn off my head by Sandman himself. Not sure if you know Sandman.
Yes, I know Sandman too.
Okay, so I get to work with a lot of these people that I grew up watching. And it's been more than an honor. But I have not actually wrestled yet. And I come out with my daughter now and we're the double Duprees because, well, we're both kind of endowed. So So they nicknamed us the Double D's or the Double Duprees. So
and people out there, if you could see why you were watching, hopefully you'll get a glimpse of the video. If you're watching, you'll know why she said.
I contained the girls today.
Hey, contain them, let them out. Whatever you gotta do, let them run free. You're gonna take all the attention away from Tymon. You don't want that.
No, not at all.
So now, what about
The
Last Dragon? Did you like the film? Was that your fan?
Yes, I actually am. I was, I think, 11 or 12 when that came out.
Okay.
And I was pretty mesmerized by the movie. And then, of course, I wanted to be Vanity. I mean, yeah. I wanted to be her, you know, showing up. But yes, that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to be here. You know, it's a great opportunity to revisit seeing the movie again. It's been years since I've watched it.
So now you also have a comic book you work on.
Yes, I'm in 9 or 10 comic books, but I have one of my own called Cat of Nine Tails, and that has my brother Tony Todd in it. Tommy Tramer, again, Matthew Ewald, and a few other people like Lloyd Kaufman from Trauma makes a guest appearance in it. And it's a 9-issue miniseries. It's more like a pulp magazine, but the imagery in it, you know, Ralph can tell you, amazing.
But I'm not.
The artist, you're not in it yet.
Yeah.
Good Lord. You know, we only got the first issue out. Don't let me start arguing that you want air.
So now, Tony Todd is involved in it as well?
Yes. He's in the comic book as well. I was very honored to be able to get him in it because we've been trying to do a project together for a while. I mean, we did Lean on Me, but that was many moons ago, and we weren't even in the same scene. I was in it for a split second, you know.
He was one of the guards.
Yeah, right.
Guards there,
yeah. So the comic book was a great way. He read it. He saw the artwork, and, you know, he said, I'm in this. I'm going to do this. So I'm very, very happy that he's a part of this project, and hopefully we'll be able to do a movie together soon, you know. They put a brother and sister team out there. Doesn't even have to be a horror film.
Okay, 646-595-4038. Can you hear me better now, Ralphie boy?
Much better now.
Okay, good. So, anyhow, I had some technical difficulties going on, so now you guys can hear me, it seems like. So we'll get back to what we were talking about. But that was Monique Dupree, actress and multi-talented artist all the way around. As you could see, she was into a lot of stuff. And it was cool talking to her. I want to get her back on and give her what I want to say, a proper interview, because that was on the fly and we were there doing the Last Dragon thing, and it was great to have her pop in and talk about what's going on with her. But, you know, even since then, she's been mega busy, so I'm sure she's got more stuff to tell us when she does get a chance to get back on here. And I want to go into a little more about some of her films a little in more in depth, so, you know, we can concentrate on that. And if everyone out there who may have missed it, she is the sister of Tony Todd, you know, famous horror actor. He's not just a horror actor, but he is an actor. Good actor, too. Everyone knows he's famous for playing Candyman. That's one of his famous roles in horror. But he also plays Death pretty much in the Final Destination movies. He's kind of like, I call him Death in those movies. and the Final Destination movies, and he also was in the Night of the Living Dead, the remake version of the Night of the Living Dead. He's in a lot of movies. He's in a lot of movies. Yeah. Most
the Rock.
Horror, but a
the
lot.
Rock.
Yeah. Oh, he was in The Rock. He was good in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but first, he's like, the moment you, he said, the moment you started taking hostages, we were no longer soldiers. We became mercenaries, and mercenaries get paid.
I want my money.
Kept it real. I want my effing money. That's what he said. We know about your soldier. He said, we're no longer soldiers. The minute we took hostages, we became mercenaries. And mercenaries get paid. So, I loved him in that, too. I loved The Rock. That was a good movie.
Every time it comes on, I watch it.
Yeah.
Every time.
I loved it, man. I mean, I love my favorite line. It had a lot of one-liners in there. But my favorite line in the movie was, your best. Losers whine about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. He said, my wife was the prom queen.
Really?
He's like, really? He said, yo, she was the prom queen. I said, that's what's up. That has got to be one of the best lines, man. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. Sean Connery. But anyway, so back to what I was saying before with the, I don't even remember what I was saying before that, but the Daredevil show has very good references to stuff that's been going on. So it's letting you know they are part of this Marvel universe that we're, you know, all been on this journey with. They've connected it with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. And like I said, even this show, he's like, you know, one guy's like, well, you know, how hard can one man be to beat? You know, it's not like he has a, you know, an iron suit or a metal or a magic hammer. You know what I mean? Like he's, you know, there's people making reference that these other characters exist. And remember, they're also talking about in the beginning of the series, they are talking about how the city needs to be rebuilt and, you know, not so long ago, less than a year ago, the sky opened up and things was happening. You know what I mean? Like, so they're making reference to the Avengers movie. You know what I mean? So now it's like everybody wants to be a superhero now, wants to be a masked freak running around because they think they can be heroes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that at least that they're acknowledging it. You know, it's now remember, Daredevil, for those who may or may not know, Daredevil is partial to a specific, you know, part of the city, which is Hell's Kitchen. That's his neighborhood. That's his thing. You know, everybody has their little areas, it almost seems like, except for people like, you know, well, the Avengers can pretty much go everywhere. But, you know, like Spider-Man usually had New York City and Queens, and, you know, he's from Queens, but New York City was Spider-Man thing. So that's why, like we're saying, you can't have these worlds collide with all these different movies and none of the characters cross over, you know. Like you just said, Daredevil should be prowling the rooftops and see, you know, in the comics it happened all the time. You know, Daredevil would pry, and even in comic books, you know, you still have to get, you know, rights and permission owners and stuff like that. People who, you know, they didn't always often crossed over comics, but they did it more often, you know, than less often. So there'd be times that he'll be, you know, or it'd be times that Spidey would be swinging through the air and he'd happen to swing over Hell's Kitchen, which is part of New York City, you know. He'd swing over Hell's Kitchen and see, you know, he knows that he's good over there because he see Daredevil in the rooftops. You know what I'm saying? He's handling that. So, you know, for them to take X-Men, and I believe, you know, Ralph, I believe you predicted something without predicting it. I believe they will the franchise will start losing money, which it did, actually. That's why they started rebooting stuff and all that. But it hadn't lost enough money to, turn it back over. Or, I don't know if it'll work, but, you know, nowadays the fans are starting to get more and more involved. And the people, you know, when they start doing, you know, petitions and all this other stuff, and I don't know if they want to continue to make a lot of money, and they see that the fans are standing their ground, saying, "Look, we're not going to keep going to see these X-Men movies. We want to see Civil War." By the time Civil War comes around, the X-Men and stuff like that should be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone in the Marvel universe was a part of Civil War.
You know what? That's not gonna happen. I'm gonna tell you right now. The fan thing never happened. That's like. All right, for all you out there that are Giant fans, if Eli Manning is having a bad game and you saying, "Yo, bench him," Coach Conklin is not gonna listen to what the fans say. He's gonna do what's in the best interest of his team.
No, of course.
I don't think there's any movie studio, because if that was the case, if we listen to the fans, if we listen to what the fans say, then Heath Ledger never would have been Joker. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck would never be Batman. And Daniel Craig would never be James Bond.
that's
truth. So, no, they're not going to listen to what the fans say. The only way the fans get to say so and what goes on is when the box office numbers start dwindling. And the last X-Men, they're really, really good. Really good.
And it was good. It was a good film.
I watched it again. It was on HBO Saturday night, and I seen it before, but I sat there and watched it. I think the sequence with Quicksilver when he's running around the Pentagon and they super slow. I think that's one of the best sequences ever in a comic book movie.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, you know, after I saw that, that's wedged in my head. I don't know. There's nothing that this Quicksilver can do that's going to impress me, in my opinion, because the way Bryan Singer threw a nice jab, like he proved to be a very superior filmmaker by pulling that off, that sequence and stuff like that. Really showed his ability as a filmmaker and his skill. Because that was just cool. That was just so cool. And all the way down to, you know, if I can save time in a bottle, all the way down to the score for that scene, it was poetic.
But
it
you
was
know something?
Beautiful.
I took a longer look at it this weekend, and I really thought that when you first saw the scene that he had actually stopped everything else going and just had him running around. But no, he still got
everything else still
going on in the scene. It's just super, super slow. Because I'm watching the piece of course, the bullets were still coming. But even Wolverine, if you watch it, you'll see that the claws are slowly coming out of his hands.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Everything. The claws were slowly coming out. The bullets were still cutting through the wind. And he did all of that stuff, man. And it was beautiful, man.
It was.
Watching that scene, that was the first time in a long time, probably since Avengers, when I saw... That was the first scene that I wanted to see again in the movies. I wish they could have, like, rewinded that part. You know what I'm saying? Because I was just like, oh, man, that scene was so good. The only time I felt like that in one of those movies was when Hulk changed the Hulk at the end, when he said, "I'm always angry," and he changed the Hulk. I was like, rewind that. You know?
That's just the problem. I'm always angry.
I'm always angry. And I thought, I mean, like when I watch movies, when I'm watching them at home and a part comes on that I love, I'm the most annoying person to sit and watch a movie with, because I'll rewind it like 8 times and just watch it again.
You know what I did this weekend? And I know my neighbors got pissed at me.
Right.
I was sitting around the house, Saturday, nothing on television. Right. And you know, this weekend, you know, they decided to put Star Wars on digital.
On digital, right? Yeah.
But, I mean, I got the Blu-ray. So I said, let me put Star Wars on. I said, let me put the first one on, Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there watching it, you know, and it comes on, and the iconic scene, the battle over Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
The speeder comes by, and you got the Star Destroyer coming right after. I said, so, turned the volume all the way up, rewound it back, played it again.
Yeah.
People was like, what the hell? Turned, kept the volume up, rewound it back. Wait.
That's great. Now I know Joss Whedon, I don't know him, but knowing how he likes to do, he's gonna do something spectacular with Quicksilver, I think. But it's gonna be tough to top what Bryan Singer did, you know. But I mean, hey, if he was watching that and watching like Flash, the show, The Flash, you could see a lot of great stuff you could do with a fast guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can really do something like on the Flash show is so ill. It's like he don't just run fast; he does everything fast. Like he thinks fast, he reads fast. He can actually, you know, he's so fast where, you know, there's a scene where in the show where, you know, his love interest, and he wants to tell her, like she like drops a cup of like coffee or something, and in between him running the, you know, pick up the coffee or stopping it from falling, you can see how he's so fast he can talk in between, you know what I'm saying, the running. He's like talking like, if you only knew what I really felt about you, like that type of deal. It's just so ill how they do him. And I mean, the Flash is naturally, you know, supposed to be the fastest man alive. He's faster than Superman. I mean, it's like he can vibrate his body and actually go phase through walls. You know what I'm saying? So the dude is just a beast. But, yeah, we'll see what they do with Quicksilver, you know. So just, you know, real quickly, because, you know, we're not going to go too much longer, but I just wanted to let people know, you know, for the Daredevil movie, like I was saying, Daredevil show, I should say, the series, very, very gritty, probably the most dark, gritty stuff that Marvel has put out. Like, seeing this show, and my boy said this to me, and I'm going to repeat what he said, watching this show really makes you long for a Batman series, like a real Batman gritty beat your ass series. That's how it feels. But this dude is very, very human with the way things are going down. Like, he's fighting so hard, but he's getting his ass kicked too a little bit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because Daredevil has, you know, for all that don't know, he does have heightened senses because of the chemicals that was splashed into his eyes. He saved an old man from getting hit by a truck. The truck spins over and basically splashes everything into young Mac Murdock's eyes. And although he loses his sight, he gains heightened senses that, like a radar, and a sonar type radar that almost makes him be able to see, you know. He could still make out certain things because of his heightened senses, but he cannot regularly see. So he could fight, but, you know, his fighting and all that stuff, he's not the, you know, I'm not saying not the best fighter. He's really good, but it's not like, you know, he's coming in there fighting and taking everybody out. You know how, like, you know, you look at the Avengers, you look at Black Widow. You know, she's taking everybody out. She ain't hardly getting in no sort of real trouble, you know. And you got Captain America, who's got, you know, a little bit of strength for the Super Soldier Serum. And, you know, he's doing his thing. He's an ill fighter.
Daredevil is an extremely good fighter. He's one of the acrobatic type fighters, but you know, he doesn't have any superhuman strength. You know, he doesn't have any superhuman speed. He's very quick because of his senses and all that stuff. And he almost has like a spider sense type deal. You know, he almost has like a spider sense type of deal because of his radar that he's got going. But, you know, overall, I think the series was a success. I think that Marvel is really winning right now with what they're doing. I think they're winning with these, the Marvel Universe is really ahead right now. DC, now don't get me wrong, DC has Arrow, great show. Flash, excellent show. Gotham, jury's still out. But that's pretty much all they got on that end. As we know, on the movie end, they haven't made a live action superhero movie since Man of Steel. That was it. You know what I'm saying? So they're now going to go into this big frenzy of making these movies based on, they're doing it the backwards way that Marvel did. Opposite of what Marvel did. They're pretty much putting out Justice League first. When you think about it, this is called Dawn of Justice, but hell, you know, based on the lineup that's in the movie, half of the Justice League is in the movie. And I don't know, it might, the original five or original six, whatever it is, may actually make an appearance in the movie.
Who's going to play the Wonder Twins? That's what I want. You're going to get to play the Wonder Twins.
Ain't going to be no damn Wonder Twins. Mary Kate and Ashley. No, right, I'm joking. I know one was a guy. But, yeah, so you got Wonder Woman's going to make an appearance. You got an Aquaman appearance. You got, of course, Superman, Batman. So that's four of the core right there. There's a rumored a Flash appearance. So now you got five right there. The only person who's missing is the Martian Manhunter. And plus they got Cyborg. So Cyborg's not an original, but you got Cyborg, Victor Stone, Cyborg. So only person that's missing from the actual, like, core ones, you got the Martian Manhunter. You know, who are you talking about? Hawkman? You know, like, you know, other than that, you know, these guys are, you know, this is Justice League, pretty much. You know? So, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be a great, we all know it's going to be a great film. Zack Snyder is amazing. I was watching it, and we're going to be closing out soon, but I just wanted to say, speaking of Zack Snyder, I was over at my cousin's house this weekend, or last weekend, or whatever, and he has a really huge screen for his little home theater. It feels like you're in a real movie theater. And we decided, we're going to watch 300. Man, ooh. I tell you, 300, boy. I could watch that over.
This is Sparta.
I mean, that's the graphics, the everything in that film was just so awesome. The visual stimulation you got from that film, it's just pretty much what you get out of all of Zack Snyder films. Stimulation, yes.
Wes, on the side note, I just sent you something on your Facebook page. Please check it out.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. So, like I said, man, we'll see how it turns out. We just wanted to come on the air and talk about a little bit of this Marvel craze that's going on. Starting next week, I suppose that's when we can start talking about Age of Ultron. Leading up to it, it's still gonna be 2 weeks out. But
next week is Chiller here in New Jersey. I really I will be taking a quick dip to Chiller this next weekend.
Awesome.
If anybody's around, it's in Parsippany, New Jersey. A lot of good guests gonna be there. I'm gonna be floating around that Friday. I'm gonna try to get to a Saturday and Sunday too. But
this is gonna be the weekend of the 18th, 19th, or the weekend of the 24th, 25th.
No, 24th, 25th.
Okay, cool.
It's gonna be in
Parsippany. So we can discuss too.
Yeah,
we should be able to go and get like a lineup of what they're gonna be doing there, and go over that for Monday. They should have that on the website. And see who's going to be coming through. We'll get a little list, let people know who might out there, if you guys might want to go participate in Chiller and see who's coming out and try to get out there and support that that whole movement. And it's like, once again, it's the weekend of the 25th, right? 24th, 25th, and 26th?
Yep.
Okay. It's in Parsippany, New Jersey. So, I mean, everyone who, all you horror fans and, just movie fans all together, television, because they treat these like the Comic Cons,
mm-hmm.
like any other convention. They're going to have wrestlers out there. They're going to have, actors and actresses, of course. They have people out there old people from shows. I'm sure Lou Ferrigno might pop up somewhere. Who knows? He seems to pop out of all these things. And, go out and support Chiller. And I guess what we'll do is we're going to end the show here and, come back next week with some more real talk, some more real on the real. And, anything else? Any closing arguments for you, Ro?
Let me see.
Nothing really coming out next week. Everyone's kind of backing off right now because it's not Justice League. It's Avenger time. These other movies are gonna ride out next week. They'll still ride out a little bit. Like Fast 7's gonna get a little more. This next week. They're going to get a little more run and make the tail end less, of their money. But that's going to be it for them. Yeah. So.
You know what? I think Fast, even after Avengers comes out, I think they're still going to make some significant money because, let's be real, Avengers is going to be selling out. Like, that first weekend is going to be selling out quickly. So people that haven't seen Fast will go back because now it's like the sad fact that Paul Walker died and you still want to go take a look at it. So even people that may never have checked out Fast and Furious in a while, but they all know about Paul Walker.
Yeah.
So I think because I saw him, I couldn't even tell what was him and what was, a CGI Paul Walker.
Yeah.
They put the face on his brother.
They put the face on the brother. Yeah, they did a good job.
And it was sad.
He did a good send off, though.
I mean, there were literally people in the theater crying when it was the last scene that Paul Walker was in. People were literally in there crying.
They did him justice, from what I heard. They said he did a good job in him. So
they did.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker, man. It's a sad situation, but like I said, it is good that his movie did really well and everybody is happy with the turnout. So we'll see. Like I said, I don't know if they're gonna do any more and go ahead and do any more without him. We'll see. I mean, this franchise makes too much money for them to wanna let it go. You know what I mean? Because this franchise makes a lot of money. Like I just told everybody at the beginning of the show, they're almost at $800 million in 2 weeks. Unfortunately, a lot of that has to do with the passing of Paul Walker. I'd say a good $300 to $400 million of that is due to that. But that's what happens though. That's what happens. So, all right. Well,
on that note, we're going to just say peace in the Middle East. Remember that line?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get back to you next week. Join us again on Monday when we do our Real Talk thing with myself and the Jedi Council. My name's Director. And you have been listening to Real Talk. And what, as we say every single week, don't ever forget about us. You can love us, you can hate us, but don't ever forget about us. Good night, people. Me.